So the game went round, and I found myself thinking that it doesn't take high stakes to show up who the real gamesters are. You could sense the rapport there was between Bentinck and Aunt Selina. Two folk with not a jot in common, mark you. He was one of the sportsmen of the day, used to playing for thousands, and here he was, watching like a hawk, as some dowager hesitated over a farthing stake. Wasn't it Greville who said that the money Lord George Bentinck won was just so many paper counters to him? It was the game that mattered. And Aunt Selina was another of the same. And then the bank passed to Fanny, and I had to deal the cards for her. Bryant, who had raised a great laugh by coming round to touch Aunt Selina's mittened hand for luck, said we should have a fair deal at last, since I had been notoriously the worst Vingt-et-un player in the whole light cavalry. There was more polite mirth at this, and I gave him a hard look as he went back to Mrs. Locke, and wondered to myself just what he had meant by that. Then Fanny, all twittering as she handled the stakes, claimed my attention, and I dealt the cards. If you know Vingt-et-un, you know that the object is not to go above 21 with the cards dealt you. It's a gambler's game, in which you must decide whether to stay pat at 16 or 17, or risk another card which may break you, or, if it's a small one, may give you a winning score of 20 or 21. I've played it from Sydney to Sacramento and learnt to stick at 17, like Aunt Selina. The odds are with the bank, since when the scores are level, the banker takes the stakes. Fanny and I had a good bank. I dealt her 19 the first round, which sank everyone except Disraeli. The next time I gave Fanny an ace and a knave for Vingt-et-un, which swamped the whole board, and she clapped her hands and squealed with delight. Then we ran 2 5-card hands in succession, and the punters groaned aloud at our luck. I was interested in the game by this time, and Fanny was full of excitement and admiration for my luck. I glanced down at her quivering bosoms and thought to myself, you'll be in rare trim for another kind of game later. And then, as I pulled my eyes away and dealt, looking to see that all the stakes were placed, I saw that on Mrs. Locke's card there was a pile of yellow counters, about 2 bob's worth. That meant they had an ace for certain, and they had. But it did them no good. They drew a 7 with it, bought a 5, and then went broke with a king. By next time round, they staked an even bigger pile of yellows, lost again, and came back with a still larger wager for the following hand. I paused in the act of dealing the second cards. You're playing double or quits, ma'am, says I to Mrs. Locke. Road to ruin. But before she could speak, Bryant cut in. Stake too high for you, are they? Why, if you can't afford, not a bit, says I, if my principal's content. And looked down at Fanny, who was sitting with a splendid pile of counters before her.
Oh, do go on, please, cries she. It's the greatest fun.
So I put round the second cards. If Bryant thought he was going to rattle me over a few shillings worth of stake, he was a bigger fool than I thought. But I knew he wasn't a fool, and that he was a damn sharp hand at card tricks. So I kept my eyes on Mrs. Locke's place. They lost again. The next time Mrs. Locke would only put up a single yellow on which they won. There was a good deal of heavy jesting at this, and I saw Bryant whispering busily in her ear. When I dealt the first card, he pounced on it. They consulted together, and then they put their whole pile on top of the card. And Bryant gave me a nasty grin and stood back, waiting. I couldn't follow this. It couldn't be better than an ace, and it was just a kindergarten game anyway. Did he think he could score off me by breaking Miss Fanny's bank? I noticed Bentinck was smiling in a half-puzzled way, and Disraeli was fingering his card thoughtfully and shifting his lidded glance from Bryant to me. They were wondering too, and suddenly I felt that cold touch at the nape of my neck that is the warning signal of danger.